Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for checking out this podcast from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, you can hear our program live weekday morning, 6 till 8 Central Time. There are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows. They're available online. Our web address, of course, myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Start your day connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the Morning.
Good morning. Welcome to it. It's Friday. You're listening to Faith Radio, and I'm Austin Hill. Glad you're with us. I'm here weekday morning, 6 till 8, as we seek to connect faith to life, and it is Lead Friday. I'm glad to be able to tell you that. It's Pastor Appreciation Month still for another several days during the month of October. We've got more details on that coming up later this morning. Also, our great friend George Frazier, addictions counselor and co-host of Real Recovery, a program you hear Sunday evenings here on Faith Radio. George Frazier joins us later this morning for his regular Friday updates on the recovery movement among churches across the United States of America. We'll talk with him later this morning. Also, in just about half an hour from now, we'll introduce you to a lady who is an attorney by profession, and she represents people, among other things, she represents people in situations where their religious liberty is at risk. And she's from the state of Idaho, interestingly enough. And that's, of course, where we've got this very unfortunate situation that dominant national news media has paid very little attention to this. But fortunately, Christian media outlets and those that do news coverage of sorts are taking this seriously. We've got a couple of people, a married couple, that are both ordained Christian pastors, and they are at risk for getting rounded up and arrested and fined several thousand dollars if they do not perform same-sex weddings. So coming up just about half an hour from now, Alexandria Kincaid, she just goes by Alex Kincaid, an attorney from the state of Idaho, will weigh in on this matter and give us the latest on that. So that's that and more is just ahead here on our program on the Faith Radio Network. We have a very interesting scenario that has emerged in Sioux Falls. If you're listening to us, well, in the Sioux Falls area anyway, if you're listening to us on our affiliate radio station in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, you've probably heard all about this. But I will give you the rundown on this. It has to do with high school students and a public high school situation, and well, I'll just give you the thumbnail sketch here. It has to do with high school students being perhaps a little bit too bold at displaying Christian imagery and Christian verbiage on school property, and a secularist atheist group has stepped in and said, "Oh, we can't have that here." And so, a school district in the Sioux Falls area is up in arms. I will tell you about that. And this is very interesting. I'll dive into some of the details here in just a moment. Again, and I want to say this gently, forthrightly, and honestly, but respectfully and gently. From time to time, I will have people tell me, you know, just talk about the Lord and God's work in our lives. You don't need to talk about all the stuff that's going on with governments and with our culture and all the events of the world. That's, you know, that's not what you're there for. Just talk about the things of the Lord. Here's an interesting news story that for those who, and I've had even interview guests on this program say, you know, Christians should have nothing to do and not care a whit about public policy and the governance of our country and our cities and our states and whatnot. I do believe when we have pastors threatened with arrest in Houston, Texas, or in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, or wherever, when we have pastors threatened with arrest if they don't hand over their sermons to the government or if they don't perform same-sex weddings, I do believe that when pastors are threatened with arrest, that kind of forces people to maybe rethink this presupposition that somehow it's really, really spiritual to be completely out of the know, completely unaware of what's going on in our culture. I mean, at some point you ignore it long enough to where your pastor gets arrested or you yourself get arrested or sued because you're being too much of a Christian or whatever. But this should be, I think, a wake-up call to all of us, and I'll get into some of the details here in a few moments. You ever heard of a group called Insight for Living Ministries? Insight for Living Ministries. Well, Insight for Living is the name of the Bible teaching program that has been, I want to say, kind of a staple of programming on Christian talk radio stations really all over the world, but certainly across the United States of America. It has been a staple of programming here on the Faith Radio Network for I don't know how many decades. It is the Bible teaching ministry of pastor, author, Bible teacher Chuck Swindoll. Wait till you hear the latest entanglement between Insight for Living Ministries, which is by definition, it is a, by legal definition in the United States of America, it is a nonprofit corporation. It's a nonprofit entity. Wait till you hear what's going on with the Insight for Living Ministries organization and the United States federal government. You might rethink if you are inclined to believe that Christians should remain silent. It is our God-given command to not have anything to say about the way our country is governed and the laws that we all are supposed to equally have to abide by. You may rethink what's going on here when you find out what the latest is with Insight for Living Ministries. Tell you about that and so much more. Welcome to Friday. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. We're glad you're here.
News you can use. Connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the morning.
6:11 on this, the Faith Radio Network, and I'm Austin Hill. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being on our support team. Come on board and join us anytime. We are fully listener-supported. Join us anytime at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. Still to come, we've got our great friend George Frazier, addictions counselor, co-host of the Real Recovery Talk program that airs on our Faith Radio Network on Sundays, on the weekends. He'll join us. Also, I'm looking forward to this. I had the privilege of speaking with this gentleman with a week or so ago, week and a half, something like that. A gentleman named Greg Jantz. He is a healthcare professional. He's also got a new book out, Dr. Gregory Jantz. It's called Battles Men Face. And some of the battles that we face as men, and guys, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to us, talking to me all at the same time. Some of the battles that we face are horribly misunderstood. Dr. Gregory Jantz will spell that out and make sense of it for us. For men and those who love and appreciate the men in their lives, Battles Men Face. Dr. Gregory Jantz joining us into the 7 o'clock hour, so stand by for that. All right, so on the issue of the Insight for Living Ministry, again, this is by legal definition now, a nonprofit organization, and at the epicenter, but most people just say, oh, that's Chuck Swindoll's thing or Chuck Swindoll's ministry. Yes, Insight for Living is a Bible teaching ministry, and the pastor Chuck Swindoll is the main speaker. His sermons delivered in churches, having been delivered in churches over the last two or three decades, recordings of those sermons are broadcast in the context of the Insight for Living broadcast. I presume, by the way, just a little sidebar here, and Chuck Swindoll strikes me as the kind of individual who probably has taken measures to make sure this happens, but I presume there's probably some sort of succession plan for when Mr. Swindoll, Dr. Swindoll, wants to step down from the ministry or has health issues and is no longer able to fulfill his duties. I presume there's a succession plan to find another pastor to put into that scenario so the program and the outreach and the ministry can continue. The good ones do that. The good churches, Bible teaching, broadcast ministries, if they're thoughtful, if they are insightful, they put together a succession plan. I do know, just again, another sidebar here. We're just full of sidebars today, aren't we? Another sidebar, when I lived in Southern California, where I grew up for most of my life, Pastor Chuck Swindoll was the senior pastor at a church called Evangelical Free Church of Fullerton, California. And when they reached a point, when he reached a point where he said, I think I want to move. I want to go back to Texas. I want to go back to the South. I want to leave the big city of the Los Angeles, Southern California area. Well, there were extensive discussions between him and the elder board of that church, and they put together a succession plan. And they knew it would be tough. He was a big, in many ways, kind of bigger-than-life personality. And the pastor, Chuck Swindoll, made it very clear to his elder board, you've got to figure out how to replace me, and I'll do everything I can to help. And we don't have to do this quickly or overnight. Let's put together a strategy so the church goes on without me. I mean, he really went out of his way to make that happen. And I would have to say what I know. That's a local church that he served in, Evangelical Free Church of Fullerton, California. They were successful in doing just that. They went on and did just fine even after his absence. Today, Pastor Chuck Swindoll, he is the senior pastor, Bible teacher of a church called Stonebriar Community Church in Frisco, Texas. That's a suburb of Dallas. He's also the chancellor of Dallas Theological Seminary. But most of us know him as the voice, the pastor on the Insight for Living broadcast. Well, again, as I said a few moments ago, if you're inclined to think that we can ignore things that our government does, we can just roll our eyes and shrug our shoulders and say, that's crazy, and then pay no attention to it. I'm reading here from a news story from the Dallas Morning News. That's the big city newspaper of record, kind of a statewide newspaper of record in the state of Texas, frankly. But let me just read you a little bit of this. The Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Swindoll filed a lawsuit in federal court over the U.S. federal government's mandate requiring Christian ministries to provide health coverage to employees for abortion-inducing drugs and devices. Swindoll is the founder and senior pastor of Stonebriar Community Church. His Insight for Living Ministries is operating from Plano, Texas, while it builds a new headquarters facility in the city of Frisco. The suit filed in U.S. federal courts against the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is stipulating that it should be exempt from the mandate of providing abortion-inducing drugs through its health care insurance policies because of Pastor Swindoll and others' deeply held religious beliefs. Now, in short, this is kind of going down the pathway that the Hobby Lobby Corporation went, except the difference is that Hobby Lobby is a for-profit business entity. Insight for Living Ministries is clearly a non-profit entity, obviously. But I'll tell you more. Let me just say it this way. Ignoring what government does has brought us to this point. Paying no attention to who gets elected or who gets appointed in government has brought us to this point where this nonprofit ministry is now having to spend money donated for the proliferation of Bible teaching, and now are going to have to divert some of those funds to prosecute a lawsuit and to pay attorneys to represent them in federal court. Tell you about this in just a moment. It's now 617. It's the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. We're glad you're here. On the Faith Radio Network, and I'm Austin Hill. Glad to be with you weekday morning 6 till 8 as we seek to connect faith to life. Coming up at just about 6:35 this morning, looking forward to our continued conversation on some very, very important issues. We've got later this morning, my goodness, we've got our good friend George Frazier, addictions counselor, here to talk about onward, moving forward with the recovery movement in churches across the country. And at 6:35 this morning, Alex Kincaid, she is an attorney from the state of Idaho, which has, been catapulted into the headlines with the city of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, a small resort community, basically, in northern Idaho, very remote part of our country. But the city of Coeur d'Alene, with an ordinance that threatens to have pastors arrested if they don't perform same-sex weddings. So stand by for that. Again, I said this earlier, and I was trying to say it gently and respectfully, but I do from time to time have people tell me, you know, just talk about the Lord and spiritual growth and God's work in our lives, and we don't want to hear this stuff about government. Well, I think we can only bury our head in the sand too long and pretend that these things don't matter. I don't know, if the threat of arresting pastors in Houston, Texas, because they've been mandated arbitrarily to hand over text transcripts of their sermons, just so the mayor and the city council in Houston can make sure that the pastors aren't saying the wrong thing about sex, oh my. Not that they're paranoid about the lesbian mayor in Houston, I mean, that's what happened 3.5-4 weeks ago. Hand over your sermons or face arrest. And there's enough of an outcry that the city officials in Houston, they stood down, so to speak. They said, oh, well, listen, we don't necessarily need you to hand over your sermons. We'll kind of restructure things and let's move on. Okay, so there's enough of an outcry to where the government officials, who are there to serve the people, it's not the other way around. We are not the servants of politicians and government bureaucrats. They are there to serve us. I know I had a very thoughtful listener two or three weeks ago. Somebody called into this program and said, well, these situations where Christians are being called before the authorities of the city of Houston or any other city for that matter, isn't that kind of like Paul going before Caesar? Certainly there is wisdom in looking at the scriptures and the behavior and the conduct of the Apostle Paul throughout as he's chronicled throughout the epistles, and the way he got along in a very hostile culture in the ancient Roman Empire. There's great wisdom there. But you know what? At the end of the day, this is not the Roman Empire. This is the United States of America, something very different. In the ancient Roman Empire, all the government authority that existed ultimately traced back to one individual, Caesar. I mean, that's today in modern terms, we'd probably call that a dictatorship. In the United States of America, you know who is ultimately in charge? The people that are served. That's why nobody is born to be president. Nobody is born into the mayor's office. Nobody is just arbitrarily appointed into the mayor's office or the governor's office or to Congress or what have you. They have to stand for election. And we have the right to go and vote and say yes to this individual and no to that individual or whatever the case may be. Now, if we abdicate that responsibility, if we abdicate and we say, you know, the opportunity to have a say in the way our culture is structured and governed, and the opportunity to exercise my voice and have a say in how the rules are crafted, that's not of interest to me. I'm not interested. I don't want to get my hands dirty. If that's our stance, then we can expect more of this abuse that is going on with the pastors in Houston, with the ordained pastors in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and now here, none other than Chuck Swindoll. He's been pushed into the corner where he's saying, no, I will not comply with this U.S. federal mandate from the Department of Health and Human Services that says our organization has to provide health insurance benefits for those who want abortive sorts of procedures. If we continue to ignore this, we'll have more of this very, very destructive activity going on here. And by the way, the President of the United States, our current President and members of his administration, you go back, you want to look for transcripts, go back and find transcripts and remarks being made 4 years ago when the federal Obamacare law was being negotiated. There were assurances given over and over and over again to the pro-life community. We would never mandate that Christians pay for abortions. Chuck Swindoll and the Insight for Living Ministry suing the U.S. federal government to try to get its liberties back. My friends, these are very challenging times. We best have our hearts and minds and eyes wide open. 625, I'm Austin Hill. This is the Faith Radio Network. Thank you for your support of what we do. Coming up next, let's take a look at Connecting Faith. It comes up today at 12 noon Central Time. We'll talk about it. Yeah. 7 on the Faith Radio Network. Connecting Faith with Neil Stavem. It happens weekdays, 12 noon Central Time here on the Faith Radio Network. Yesterday, Neil spoke with Brandi Wilson about her new book, Leading and Loving It, Encouragement to Pastors, Wives, and Women in Leadership. Here's part of that conversation from yesterday.
You know, Pete was growing the church and I was growing the family because we had 3 kids in 5 years. And I think what we had to watch out for in that season is that because, you know, I say he was growing the church and I was growing the family, we started living parallel lives. So we're both moving forward. We're moving forward side by side, but we're sure not moving forward together. So we had to really come to a point about 8 or 9 years ago where we were like, hey, we love this church that God has called us to, but we love our family more. So let's make some changes and figure out how can we do both the church thing and the family thing really well and be able to draw some boundaries and set some healthy expectations for what we thought time management looked like between the church and the family obviously coming first. And that was probably the biggest turning point for us to be able to think, we love our family and we're enjoying getting to do the church, to be able to put them in that order and share that like-mindedness of what it took to, you know, grow a healthy church. It's so funny, lots of opinions are given of big churches, and Pete and I never set out to have a huge church. We just set out to have a healthy church, you know. We just set out to really have biblical values and to help people come into an individual relationship with Christ. And, you know, it's kind of like my kids. My kids are healthy. They're growing. I can't stop them from growing when they're healthy. And they're, you know, we didn't set out to have a big church. It's just been part of it. But we're very, very honored that God allowed us to be part of his journey that we call Cross Point.
I'm sure that, in the ministry Leading and Loving It, that you have opportunity to talk to maybe a lot of other women leaders in ministry or pastors' wives who maybe have a smile on their face, you know, but they're not loving it. And of course, we know that. I mean, pastoral discouragement is, if the statistics are true, I mean, there's a lot of pastors, you know, bailing and lots of challenges. What, do you have some encouragement for that, maybe the wife especially, who's husband feels like that parallel track thing going on?
Yeah. You know what? That's probably the statistic that fires me up more than anything, is that the number one reason a pastor leaves his church is because his wife isn't happy. So for us at Leading and Loving It, when we think, how can we make the biggest impact for Christ, it is, you know what? If you have a healthy wife, that bleeds over to help create a healthy marriage, which bleeds over into a healthy congregation, which is ultimately God's church. You know, what can we do to help make the church a healthy place? And, you know, for wives, I think if you're really unhappy, it's okay to get help. I feel like there's such a stigma attached to counseling, and there's such a stigma attached to counseling when you're the pastor's wife. And what if I show up for the counseling and there's somebody from our church sitting in the lobby? And, you know, we've all done it. But I think you can't not get help.
Brandi Wilson, a guest on Connecting Faith. Just yesterday here on the Faith Radio Network. Coming up on today's episode, host Joe Rathmanner will talk with author and speaker Jeff Mannion about what to do during uncertain times in your life. They'll talk about Jeff's book, The Land Between. Today, 12 noon Central Time on the Faith Radio Network, Connecting Faith. It's now 6:31. Good morning. Welcome to Friday. I'm Austin Hill. Religious liberty being compromised here in the U.S. Coming up next, we'll go to Idaho and get the very latest in legal analysis on what's going on with pastors threatened with arrest in their hometown of Coeur d'Alene. SRN News is on the way next.
Back to Austin Hill in the morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
Good morning. It's now 6:35. I'm Austin Hill. Glad you're with us. I'm here weekday morning 6 till 8 as we seek to connect faith to life. It is Pastor Appreciation Month, all month long during the month of October, and we'll talk about ways to show appreciation to the pastor of your church coming up later this morning. And also, just a reminder, navigate over to our homepage, myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com, and nominate the pastor of your church. We've got a beautiful retreat gift that we'll be giving away via a drawing coming up at the end of the month. But more details on that forthcoming here on our program. Well, the news broke early this week. A couple, their names are Don and Evelyn Knapp. They are ordained Christian pastors. They also own a wedding chapel, for-profit business in, of all places, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, a beautiful, smallish kind of resort community in northern Idaho. And the news broke earlier this week that they may very well run afoul of a city ordinance in Coeur d'Alene that says that they could be arrested and fined quite severely if they don't perform same-sex weddings. Where do we go from here? This can happen in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Can it happen elsewhere? Joining us to talk about this for some legal analysis, Alex Kincaid. She is a former prosecutor. She now operates a private law practice where she assists families and individuals and Christian business owners on how to protect themselves from pressures that may otherwise force them to compromise their Christian values. Alex Kincaid, welcome to Faith Radio. Thanks very much for joining us.
Good morning, Austin. Thanks for having me.
Great to be with you. Give us your assessment. You're in the southern region of Idaho in the Boise area. Coeur d'Alene is a few hundred miles north of you, but this is your state, a state that you know and love. Give us your assessment of what has transpired in Coeur d'Alene and where things stand with this couple, this married couple who are both ordained ministers.
Sure, Austin. And yes, I'm a ways away from Coeur d'Alene now, but I actually grew up in northern Idaho. I'm very familiar with the territory. This is pretty shocking to people in this state. The majority of people who believe that marriage is a sacred covenant between a man and a woman, and there is a 63-page complaint that has been filed by the Knapps against the city of Coeur d'Alene that outlines, you know, their history in this state in performing marriages in accordance with their religious beliefs, and now we have the government stepping in telling them, you're actually going to have to do it our way or be subject to these fines and possible jail time each and every day that you fail to do it.
Now, city officials in Coeur d'Alene will say, hey, listen, we didn't come after them. They came after us. As a matter of fact, I know there's a city council member there in Coeur d'Alene who's saying, this is a passive law, not an active law. I don't know if that's a legitimate legal distinction from your vantage point or not, but they're saying one would need to go to the Knapps business, asked to get married, a same-sex couple, be rejected, and then that same-sex couple would need to go to the city and officially file a complaint before the city of Coeur d'Alene would do anything with the Knapps. Their whole spin is that Mr. and Mrs. Knapp, I guess they're ordained ministers, but they're really just kind of cooking this up and making something out of nothing. What does that look like from your vantage point as a legal professional?
Right. A couple of problems with that, Austin. First of all, this city ordinance was recently passed. So, you know, we have a lot of old laws on the books that probably need to be done away with. We get rid of them because times have changed and maybe we're not going to enforce them anymore. Mm-hmm. This is a recent law. They certainly intend to enforce it or they wouldn't have just passed it. And the Knapps should not be subject to possible jail time and fines for violating the law before they can bring this lawsuit. So essentially, you know, the city's trying to say, look, we're not actually enforcing this. This is all a bunch of smoke. They're coming after us. No, the city already came after them when they passed this ordinance to begin with. And if the Knapps now refuse to marry same-sex couples, they can be fined and jailed each and every day. They're subject to a new penalty. And you know how long it takes to move something through the court system. So think about as they continue to reject and somebody actually gets injured,
right.
Now they're subject to these penalties if the court enforces this ordinance.
Well, I think you know the machinations of courts better than I do, for sure. But my impression is they move very slowly, and I think that's the point you're making here. Alex Kincaid, she is a former prosecutor, now a private practice attorney in the state of Idaho, and she assists Christian individuals and families and businesses on how to secure themselves, protect themselves from government pressures that may try to force them to compromise their Christian values and beliefs. Where do you see this going with Don and Evelyn Knapp? I know they have secured representation from this very high-profile nonprofit law firm, the Alliance Defending Freedom, and they're very high-profile in the evangelical Christian community. I know you're familiar with them. ADF has filed a lawsuit and asked for a restraining order, actually, to tell the city of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, hey, back off, leave these two ordained ministers alone. I don't know the latest on that, but how does this play out in your estimation?
I think the Knapps are going to be successful in at least getting the temporary restraining order. It's hard to predict how our government's going to act because we're dealing with out-of-control government and abuse of power, and we're seeing that in the court system the same as we're seeing it in other branches of government. So, you know, I want to hope that the courts are going to protect the NAPs and allow them to practice their religion and marry people in the way that is consistent with their religious beliefs and not force them to violate their vows by marrying same-sex couples. But, you know, it's concerning, and this can go through various layers of court. They filed this in the first layer, as you have to do in the federal court system, and if they lose, then there will be an appeal. We could see this go up to the Supreme Court. Who knows? And, yes, the system moves very slowly. So, you know, it's very concerning, Austin.
It certainly is to me, and there are a lot of pastors and lay people in churches that are listening to us right now, Alex Kincaid, and saying, my goodness, is my pastor going to be next? I mean, who would have thought that evangelical Christian pastors in, of all places, Houston, Texas, back about a month ago. Some people call that the buckle of the Bible Belt. I don't know if that's the buckle or, you know, something else. But people look at Houston, Texas and say, well, this is kind of evangelical Christian central. And yet there was the city government carrying out an inquisition of sorts saying, you hand over transcripts of your sermons or face arrest. Now this in Coeur d'Alene. Take a step back, if you would, for us, Alex. And speak to the pastor, the concerned church member who is saying, I don't know what's coming next with my church, with my ministry, and my city government. What advice would you offer? What analysis would you give us?
Well, I think that, you know, the Houston thing is a little different, number one, and that what makes it really scary in that situation is that those pastors, as I understand it, aren't even parties to that lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
So they're being brought into this, and the reaction that I've heard is that they're saying no. You know, this is so similar to, you know, Christians having been persecuted throughout the ages for adhering to their religious beliefs, and I think our pastors and our Christians are going to stand strong and not give in to these government demands and fight it. And, you know, as we bond together and fight this type of government action and hold strong to our convictions, pastors are ready to do that. And they will hold to their faith. They will seek the right legal advice. Certainly there are organizations out there, such as the law firm that you mentioned that has filed this suit in Coeur d'Alene, that are going to come to their aid and protect them from the government.
All right, Alex Kincaid, stand by. Quick break. A couple more questions for you. We'll continue in just a moment. Alex Kincaid, a former prosecutor, she now represents and serves individuals and families and businesses and educates people on how to protect themselves from pressures, legal pressures that may otherwise try to get them to compromise their Christian values. We'll talk more with her in just a moment. 6:45, this is the Faith Radio Network that you're listening to. I'm Austin Hill. Don't go away. Central Time. This is the Faith Radio Network, the listener-supported Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill, here weekday morning 6 till 8, as we connect faith to life. Coming up, a sneak preview of the Live the Promise program with Susie Larson. We'll get to that, hear a little bit of Susie's program from yesterday, coming up in just a moment. Also into the 7 o'clock hour, a look at the recovery movement across churches in the United States. Our great friend George Frazier, who co-hosts Real Recovery on the weekends here on the Faith Radio Network, he joins us then. It's Pastor Appreciation Month all throughout the month of October. I find it the height of irony, and I don't mean that in a ha-ha, gee, that's funny kind of way. It's ironic in a very sobering way that here in the same month that we're celebrating Pastor Appreciation Month, we have pastors being threatened with arrest here in the United States of America. I hope it's a wake-up call to all of us. Alex Kincaid is on our guest line. She is a former prosecutor, now a private practice attorney. She's in the state of Idaho, where a husband and wife, who are both ordained pastors, are being threatened with arrest in the city of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Alex, you advise people in attorney-client relationships all the time. That's what you do. You can't practice law here on the program, but speak, if you would, just before we let you go, speak to the person, the lay person at a church, or maybe somebody who serves on an elder board at a church, who looks at this activity and says, my goodness, I hope this doesn't happen to my pastor. And they don't want to live in this little bubble that says, oh, it'll never happen here. How do we begin a conversation? How does that person begin a conversation about appropriate, proactive legal protective measures in the church? What does that person do? Do they go and talk to the pastor? Do they talk to the elder board? Do they convene a meeting? What do you recommend in that situation?
Well, I think, you know, it's like with anything else. The more you need to have the conversation, you need to start it somehow. And if it's with your board, or if you're a smaller church and you just get together as a group with the leaders within the church, it's important to sit down and talk about it. What are your policies going to be? And if something like this happens in your community, if there is a law passed in a local situation by your city, what are you going to do? Are you going to give in until it's sorted out elsewhere in the court system, or are you going to hold strong? And if your answer is that you're going to hold strong, you need to have a plan for what happens next. So what is the reaction going to be? Who is your lawyer going to be? Who is your advisor in terms of the legal community? And how are you going to gather the funds to defend yourself if you don't have a nonprofit legal organization that's going to take up the case for you?
Yeah. And for those of us who maybe see that local authorities, local elected bodies are moving towards passing an ordinance or a new law, and they say, well, no, this is all about non-discrimination, this is about diversity, this is about inclusiveness. I mean, that's the way these kinds of laws are positioned. And yet the people who do get discriminated against, who do get excluded, not included, are oftentimes the Christians. If we see something like that on the horizon in our state legislature, in the city, in the county, or whatever, how should we engage in that conversation with elected officials, would you say?
I think you need to go in strong. You certainly need to show up to the city council meetings where these proposals are being discussed. You need to testify. You need to be there in numbers and in force so that they know if they pass this kind of a law, they are going to have a fight on their hands. This is costly to the city as well. It works on both sides that way. So if you show up and you're strong and you let them know there will be opposition and that you are willing to fight this, you're not just going to fall over and comply, that should have some effect.
Alex Kincaid, she is a former prosecutor and a private practice attorney. We'll have info about her on our website at myfaithradio.com. Alex, thanks very much for your time. I know it's very early there in your home state of Idaho. Thanks for the update on the Coeur d'Alene case. We look forward to speaking with you again soon. And thanks for your wisdom and your insight. We appreciate what you do.
My pleasure, Austin. Thanks for having me.
Good to be with you. It's now 6:52, and this is the Faith Radio Network. Glad you're here. Pastor Appreciation Month continues. I'll tell you more about ways that you can show appreciation to your pastor, and I'll let you in on some things that other people are saying about their pastor. It's pretty cool. We'll talk about it next. It's the Faith Radio Network. On the Faith Radio Network, Live the Promise with Susie Larson. It happens every weekday, 3 till 5 p.m. Central Time here on the Faith Radio Network. Yesterday, Susie welcomed to the program marriage experts Bill and Pam Farrell. They were in studio. They talked about some little-known wisdom about intimacy in marriage. Let's listen in.
It's easier to reignite the passion than it is to reestablish the friendship.
Boy, that is a good word, Bill. And would you say more often than not, it is that surface stuff you were talking about where people just get busy and it's the loss of intentionality and it's the little things, and you just forget. Add some of those little things, you start to...
Because the intimacy of intimacy is responsibility.
Wow.
And I've done a lot of weddings in my lifetime, never had a couple come to me and say, Bill, we were talking and we're interested in getting really busy. We want to have a big mortgage and a bunch of kids running around and a little bit of debt and lots of responsibility in the community where we barely have time for each other. And so based on that, we want to get married.
Yeah.
See, nobody signs up for that, and responsibility just takes the heart from one another.
And, you know, there's some studies out there that
some of these little things really add up. For example, couples that attend church together rate their red hot monogamy higher rating. Couples that pray together rate their red hot monogamy with the highest possible rating. So there's like a correlation, the more passionate we are towards God, God boomerangs that passion back into our marriage relationship. And then there's studies out there that are kind of fun. Couples that exercise together have more red hot monogamy. So maybe just get a little more active. Find a sport to do together, a hobby to do together. Take those walks and hold hands together.
I remember when my youngest son played football, the other two sons were musicians, but I remember a woman approached me that I'd kind of got to know, and she'd had an affair and their marriage was hanging on by a thread. And she said, "Susie, I've watched you and Kev when Kev's holding the chain gang, you know, doing the yardage thing, whatever." She said, "I watch when you walk by each other, you touch each other's arm." And she said, "But I've watched from a distance when you turn around and look at each other." And she said, "We haven't done that in years." Mm-hmm. And she said, "I can tell. I mean, like, you two are the only people on the field, and you see each other." And it melted my heart, for one thing, because I thought, wow, someone saw that. You know what I mean? But it spoke volumes to her. But those things die away when you get too busy and you're not prioritizing the person you married, right?
Right. And they don't die if you keep them in your schedule. Like, one of the best things couples can do, and this is whether couples are doing good, not good, friendships going well, if you just reinstitute dating each other. You know, Pam and I have always had a date time together that we share. And when we were local, we would have a date night. Now that we're doing a lot of traveling, we have date places.
Right. We tag it on to our trips. Yeah.
And, again, you didn't get married so that you could work hard together. It goes along with the deal. You got married because you liked the way you interrupt each other's lives.
Wow, some great marital wisdom there. Bill and Pam Farrell, guests with Susie Larson on her program, Live the Promise, weekday afternoons, 3 till 5 p.m. Central Time here on the Faith Radio Network. Coming up today on her program, Susie welcomes Pastor Jeff Hill of Serenity Village Community Church. He will be speaking, I'm sure, in very candid terms about his own struggles with addictions. That's Pastor Jeff Hill joining Susie Larson on Live the Promise today between 3 and 5 p.m. Central Time here on the Faith Radio Network. It's now 6:57. It's Friday morning. Does it feel good to say, whew, made it through another week. It's Friday. That is a good thing. It's Pastor Appreciation Month, by the way. And as we head into the weekend, and as I hope you're planning to attend worship services and probably see the pastor of your church this weekend, be mindful of what the pastor brings to you and your household, your family, and to your congregation each and every weekend. I note here that among those who have nominated their pastor to win a beautiful prize, a gift of an 8-day retreat from Sunscape Retreats, we'll be giving that away at the end of October. You can nominate your pastor, by the way. Just get over to myfaithradio.com and fill out the form. It'll only take you a few moments. But Elena, she emailed, nominated her pastor, Rick. And she says, "Every time I listen to Pastor Rick's sermons, I come away joyful and insightful. I always wish everyone that I love could be with me to hear the truths of the Scripture when Pastor Rick delivers them." She also says, "I've begun to purchase CDs of sermons so I can share them with others. I'm grateful every day that I have the opportunity to be a part of our church, and I appreciate Pastor Rick's service." Elena, thanks very much. Glad you nominated your pastor. Dustin actually nominated the pastor of his church. Dustin says, "Our pastor is very good at bringing the word and the truths of the Scripture to all of us. We are totally blessed!" Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. I think there's a fourth exclamation point there. Dustin, thank you for your nomination of the pastor of your church to win that great gift that we have available from Sunscape Retreats. MyFaithRadio.com. Just log on, and again, it's one of the first things that pops up. We make it easy, but let's really go out of our way to show our appreciation for our pastors during these very trying times and during this specific month. It's now 6:58. I'm Austin Hill. Welcome to Friday. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. SRN News Headlines on the way next. Keep it right here.
Start your day connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the morning.
Good morning, it's now 7:04. Welcome to Friday. It's the Faith Radio Network, fully listener-supported Faith Radio. I'm Austin Hill here, weekday morning 6 till 8.
As we seek to connect faith to life, Pastor Appreciation Month, October, it marches on. Is that too much of a soldier-like reference? I don't think so. We are marching on through Pastor Appreciation Month and headed into a weekend. Coming up in just moments, our great friend George Frazier. We love George Frazier. George Frazier is a professional addictions counselor by training, and he also co-hosts a great program called Real Recovery. It is broadcast live real time on the weekends here on the Faith Radio Network. And George Frazier joins us each and every Friday to kind of give us a little snapshot, if you will, synopsis, if you prefer, on the recovery movement in churches. I also note that, and we mentioned this last hour before the SRN newscast there at the top of the hour, but coming up on Susie Larson's program, Live the Promise. You know, and let me just take a step further backward. I have been interviewed by Susie Larson. Man, does she dig out the details. She's phenomenal at getting people to talk from the heart. But she will be speaking with a pastor, I think it's safe to say a mega church pastor, on her program today. And that pastor, said pastor, will tell his own story of addiction and recovery. The good news here, and George Frazier navigates this terrain so well, the good news is that we are, I think, having and this has been probably at least a couple of decades in the making, but we've been getting closer and closer to transparency and reality in the church, at least in our culture anyway, to the extent that we're willing to say, and it's becoming safer and more appropriate, more acceptable to say, I have a problem and I can't fix it on my own. That's really kind of the first step to recovery from addiction. So we'll get to that coming up a little bit later this morning. George Frazier joining us in just a few moments. Did you hear the latest news surrounding a man, a pastor named Chuck Swindoll? Chuck Swindoll, whose sermons, whose Bible teaching ministry radio program, Insight for Living, has quite frankly been a staple in the Christian talk radio format for the bigger part of three decades, I would say, maybe going on four. Certainly, Insight for Living with Chuck Swindoll has been a big part of the programming lineup here at the Faith Radio Network for a mighty long time. Some new developments with the Insight for Living ministry and the U.S. federal government. Pastor Chuck Swindoll and his ministry have decided to take a very strong stance against being forced to provide certain kinds of health coverage that pay for abortive sorts of procedures and products. Chuck Swindoll versus the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I mean, this is kind of where things are going in America right now. When I will get into the details later. Trying to put this out here in vague terms and suggest there's some sort of scandal with Chuck Swindoll or Insight for Living. Not in the least. But when a nonprofit ministry, headed up by such an esteemed and respected Bible teacher such as Pastor Chuck Swindoll, when a nonprofit corporation, that's what it is by legal definition, when a nonprofit corporation has to stand up and say, we're saying no to the government. We will not be pushed. We will not be forced. We will not be bullied. And we're taking our case to court. I hope that's a wake-up call to the church universally across America. The landscape that we live in is changing. If you are of the mindset, if you know somebody in your church, even if the pastor of your church up there in the mindset that says, hey, we're not here to talk about any of this government or politics stuff. We just need to continue the ministry that God has called us to. Please understand, our ability to carry out the ministry that God has called us to, whatever that may be, is under attack. It is under compromise. And the good news, here's the hope in it all, we have a voice. This is not the ancient Roman Empire. This is not the era of the New Testament church where Christians had no say at all in how their society, how their culture was governed. We have a voice. Let's find it. We'll talk about that more coming up later this hour. 7:08, our great friend George Frazier on the way next here on the Faith Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
News you can use. Connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the morning.
It's now 7:09, and Friday is underway. Oh, sure, Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. Somebody once said that. It's kind of a famous line. I didn't just make that up. Sunday's coming. Is that Tony Campello? Didn't he? Sure. Okay, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Aaron McIntyre on the other side of the glass booth, just kind of making it up as we go here, just as I am. Thank you, Aaron. Give yourself a round of applause there digitally right out of the computer. That's terrific. George Frazier is the co-host of Real Recovery Sundays here on the Faith Radio Network. He is a man of action. He is a professional addictions counselor and a great broadcaster who brings a message of hope with him pretty much everywhere he goes. George, welcome back to our morning program. Good to talk to you today, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, Austin. How are you today?
I am very well. I just feel kind of inundated in a good way with people who are willing to talk about their out-of-control issues, things that they needed God's redemption for. I noted earlier this morning on Susie Larson's program later today, she'll be interviewing a pretty high-profile pastor, I would say, who tells the story of having once been addicted and been set free from that bondage. You see that happen every day. But for the person who thinks this whole thing is kind of unusual and weird, what do you tell them about the recovery process, George?
Well, I think we're all in recovery, Austin, and what we need to look at is what did Jesus deliver us from? We get some pretty dramatic testimonies. We're going to have one this week on our show with a guy named Johnny Turnipseed, who was in prison, started a gang in Minneapolis, had 30 relatives in prison. It's just an amazing story. And I can see from a layman's standpoint where those seem pretty dramatic. But we all have a dramatic testimony in our life. What did Jesus deliver you from? And I think that's the question we need to ask ourselves.
Yeah, the high-profile, really bad stuff, quote-unquote, and I'm using that expression, really bad stuff, I'm using that very euphemistically, but the really
sure.
bad stuff, being redeemed from the, you're in jail and now you've been set free and your life is on track, that's the kind of headline-grabbing story of transformation. But the person who is maybe suffering in silence with a problem they just can't get beyond, the spouse who says, my husband or wife has this problem and I don't know what to do, the parent who says, my child is addicted and I'm not sure what the next steps to take are, the person who sits in silence with something that doesn't get any attention, that's equally deserving of our attention, our thoughts, our prayers. But we're all in need of recovery, as you say. Comment on that person who maybe doesn't have the big attention-getting story that maybe becomes the subject of a book or a movie or something of that sort.
Well, I think that's a great question. There's a lot of lives that we affect. I know in my addiction and subsequent recovery, I caused a lot of problems. And then when I got sober, everything was okay, and I expected everybody to come along with me. Well, there's some damage done there, and the problem could be the person who became a Christian at 14, and they're doing all the right things, and they're serving God in the background. Somebody comes along that has a tremendous testimony that's gone off on their own, and all of a sudden they're the one everybody's looking at. That can cause some resentments. So we need to look at our own issues, our fallen nature before an all-sovereign God who's holy.
Mm-hmm. George Frazier, on the program this Sunday, you always have some very interesting interview guests, you and your co-host. What's coming up this Sunday?
Well, we have Johnny Turnipseed, Austin, this week, and Johnny has been on before. That's his real name. And he started a gang here in Minneapolis, and at one point he had 30 family members in prison at the same time he was. There's been a movie made about Johnny's life, actually what Christ did in Johnny's life. And he went from a very angry guy to a very loving, kind man who helps people get educated, find housing. And he's in charge of a Urban Ventures fathering program. It's just a beautiful story, and it's true. And I think sometimes, you know, adding to your previous question, Austin, we kind of go, hey, did this stuff really happen? You know, like, did the resurrection really happen? Well, we get to see the resurrection power all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And on our show this Sunday, you're going to get to hear about it.
Stand by. We'll continue with George Frazier in just a moment. He's the co-host of Real Recovery, Sunday evenings, 5 p.m. here on the Faith Radio Network. That'd be 5 p.m. Central Time. Some more questions and thoughts with George Frazier in just a moment. 716, the Faith Radio Network is on, and I'm Austin Hill. Stay with us. On the Faith Radio Network. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being on our support team. We are fully listener-supported. Join us at MyFaithRadio.com. MyFaithRadio.com. Breakpoints with Eric Metaxas and John Stone Street along the way. Coming up in just moments, it's now 7:18. I'm Austin Hill, and our great friend George Frazier co-hosts the program Real Recovery, Sunday evenings, 5 p.m. Central Time here on the Faith Radio Network. George, I ask you this so often, but I don't think the question ever should go ignored. For the person who is saying, you know, maybe we need to start looking at a 12-step group in our church, or we have concerns that maybe there are people suffering in silence, struggling with some kind of behavior or issue in their life that they just can't get over on their own, but we really don't know where to begin with these things. What do you advise to the pastor or even the lay church leader that finds himself in that situation?
Well, it's a great question and one that comes up all the time, Austin. First thing I would do is there's always announcements at church during the service, every church I've ever gone to. And I would make an announcement that we are looking to get recovery groups started in our church. And there's going to be people in your congregation that are going to recovery groups that would love to serve. If that doesn't work, you can look in your phone book. At the beginning of the alphabet, there's some groups there that everybody's familiar with, and call them and tell them you'd like to start a meeting. You could also call a group like Teen Challenge or the Salvation Army and ask them how to proceed. But my guess is, and as you know, Austin, there's a lot of people in recovery in the church already that want to serve.
Is that the case? I mean, when somebody gets an announcement in the church bulletin or stands up before the congregation and says, hey, we're thinking about convening a meeting, joining us in the join us in the room down the hall after services, and we'll talk. I mean, when somebody takes that first step, it's pretty customary that they find out that there's other parishioners in the church that belong to an AA group or Al-Anon or something like that?
Oh, gosh, yes. One of the great movements in my lifetime in recovery has been Celebrate Recovery, which comes out of California. And yeah. I think you're familiar with that. And it talks about hurts, habits, and hang-ups, you know, that we all fall short. And what happens is not only do people get involved, they realize it's okay to be who you are because God knows who you are anyway. He still loves you, and he has a plan of redemption out of this. And what we need to do is be okay with who we are and make a decision that we want to get involved in these things. It is okay. We're not that unique. And God has a plan for us.
George Frazier, I often get the impression that pastors, they want to help. They want to be able to minister to those struggling with addictions, but sometimes just don't have the tools. And you and people like you come alongside and help with that. Tell us how that process works.
Well, I think we ask them to be everything for everybody. And we have a certain skill set, as you know. Some people can be great teachers. Some people can be great counselors. Rarely do we see that combination with both. You were talking about Chuck Swindoll earlier. Had a huge impact on my recovery and still does. But Chuck's, I'm sure, not great at everything. He might not be a finance guy. I don't know. Maybe he is. But I think if we can get people to help our pastors by stepping up to the plate, what are your gifts? What are your gifts? And maybe your gift God has given you is that you can counsel people because of your own recovery.
Sure.
And I think we ask these guys to be Superman, and they're human.
They are indeed. Your point's well taken. Real Recovery, a program broadcast specifically live real time, Sundays, 5 p.m. Central Time here on the Faith Radio Network. Of course, you can always find it anytime in digital format. You can download it, click to listen, what have you, on MyFaithRadio.com. George Frazier, a professional addictions counselor, he co-hosts that program. George, always great to talk with you. We'll look forward to hearing you Sunday evening, and thanks again for what you do.
Thank you, Austin. Have a good weekend.
You too, sir. Look forward to talking to you. Speaking of, I really appreciate what he said. The kinds of expectations we place on pastors. We expect them to be supermen. They're not, though. They are incredibly, at least we shouldn't expect them to be. We have some amazing, very self-sacrificial people serving in pulpits and in pastorates across our country and around our world, risking their lives in some cases. And as we've seen just recently, with recent turns of events, within the last, 4-6 weeks or so, in some cases, pastors risking arrest for doing what they do. Even here in the United States of America, which should be an incredible wake-up call to us all. I appreciate what George was saying, that the expectations that we place on pastors sometimes are a little overbearing. Let's honor them during Pastor Appreciation Month, shall we? Hope you'll navigate over to myfaithradio.com. Info on Pastor Appreciation Month, which is going on throughout October. That's available to you right there on the homepage. And if you see fit, and I hope you will, nominate your pastor for a gift. A group called Sunscape Retreats has partnered with us here at Faith Radio. Sunscape Retreats, a great nonprofit organization that owns a couple of different retreat centers, one in rural Tennessee and another in rural Colorado, beautiful retreat facilities. They customize a restorative, rejuvenating retreat experience for pastors and their families and those who serve in full-time church ministry or parachurch ministry. We're going to give away an 8-day retreat at one of these Sunscape facilities. And a pastor's name can go into the mix. We'll give away the retreat vis-a-vis a drawing, which we will conduct at the end of the month. But get to myfaithradio.com, nominate the pastor of your church, and we'll make sure that individual's name gets in the mix. Myfaithradio.com, that's where it goes. 7:25, it's the Faith Radio Network that you're listening to. I'm Austin Hill. When we return, it'll be time for Breakpoints. Don't go away.
Getting your day started, connecting faith to life. Back to Austin Hill in the morning.
7:35 on the Faith Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to it. Friday underway. I'm Austin Hill. Honored to be with you weekday mornings 6 till 8 as we seek to connect faith to life. Coming up, some news about the Insight for Living ministry, the nonprofit ministry headed up by pastor, Bible teacher, Chuck Swindoll. Yes, that organization is in the news in a very profound way, and we'll tell you about it coming up in just a few moments. If you were to encounter on, let's say, a bookshelf or maybe a computer desktop, a book entitled Battles Men Face, what would you be thinking of? Well, you might think of the battles that men face each and every day in the marketplace. Maybe you think about men who go to war defending our liberties on battlefields both domestically and foreign. You might also think of substance abuse issues or sexual temptations and inappropriate sexual behaviors. According to the author of the book, however, the battles men face is actually quite broad and a little more varied than what might be at first thought. Joining us to talk about the battles that men face and a strategy to win the war within, Dr. Gregory Jantz. Dr. Jantz, welcome to Faith Radio.
Oh, good to be with you today.
Pleasure to speak to you. Strategies to win the war within. Tell us about the war within that a lot of men are facing right now.
You know, one of the things, and this we've been doing this for about 30 years now, is when we think of issues men face, we think of some addiction or pornography. And I'm here to say that there's a lot more than just that. And not that we're all messed up, but there are some hidden battles within. And a couple of those that come to mind that we've all got to come and reconcile with is even the issue of competition. It's a big one for men, comparing what I have or the toys I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
The neighbors do it. It's the competition factor. And when I compare, and that's another one, that I'm constantly comparing. I probably feel inferior. I don't have enough. I haven't done enough. You know, all the issues that, man, as a dad or a father, I really feel inadequate. This is so common.
Isn't it the case, though, that men are kind of inherently, by their nature, competitive, at least many of us anyway?
And you know what? I want you to have that competitiveness. But there's a line we cross, because I think it's good. And there's a line we cross where we become obsessed with it. It's a matter of everything in life, we keep keeping score. And it's never enough. So in our mind, when that obsession, we cross that line, and we're everything is competition, and it begins to affect our relationship at home, our relationships at work, in a negative way. So that's the line that gets crossed, that sometimes we don't realize that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Gregory Janse, he's author of the book Battles Men Face, Strategies to Win the War Within. He's on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. Sounds like you're addressing in your book, Dr. Janse, some struggles, some battles that aren't quite so obvious. When you talk about problems with pornography, especially in the Christian community, it strikes me that there's pretty universal agreement that that's a problem. But working too much, being perhaps unduly competitive, those maybe are things that get overlooked as problems, or maybe even not recognized. Maybe they're oftentimes blessed as entirely good things. We don't see the downside. Give us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, we don't see the downside, and we treat it as normal. In fact, in our culture, you know, we're expected to do these things, and men end up consuming and acquiring.
And that's problematic because?
Well, if we consume and acquire, that again crosses that line of obsession where we are no longer in relationships in a healthy way. And, you know, I want you to be happy. I want you to have, I don't care if you have toys, but there's that line again we cross where it becomes unhealthy. This is what we're seeing more and more.
Dr. Janse, I'm aware that one of the issues that you address in your book, Battles Men Face, is the proclivity among some men, anyway, to work too much. Tell us about that.
Okay. Well, work becomes my sole source of not only my identity, but my value. And suddenly, if I'm not working, and, you know, work has really changed definitions. With technology, you know, when I'm on vacation, I'm on email, I'm working. There's no downtime. So vacation, even that term has really changed what that means. And so there is no downtime, or very, very little. And so that's the world that we're accustomed to living in. I've got to deal with things almost in an instant fashion. Mm-hmm. So technology has added some real challenges to what it means to really have renewal, have quiet time. Even for a guy to figure out, you know, what does quiet time mean? How do I even hear from the Lord? Because there's so much other noise in my life. And technology is part of that.
Yeah, it sounds like, as you described it, it seems like we've kind of blurred the lines between work and rest, or idle time and relaxation time and time to labor. It's kind of all mushed together, so to speak.
It's hard to have that true day of rest. And yep, because our work follows us on that smartphone.
Mm-hmm. Boy, doesn't it? It kind of becomes an electronic leash. What are some of the other battles that men face that maybe not might not be so obvious? You've hit the work issue, the accumulation of toys and material possessions. What else?
You know, there's a battle that men face for just a sense of value and that I matter, who I am. And frankly, many, many men struggle with just a quiet and the secret sense of I'm not good enough. The insecurities, my value has been mainly through work. If I don't have that, who am I? Mm-hmm. And for many men, they feel like, you know, I didn't really have that great a role model with my father. I didn't really learn a lot about what does it mean to be in a healthy marriage. So sometimes what we had role modeled wasn't the healthiest. So a secret battle really is those insecurities. We may cover that up through addictions. We may cover that up through anger. But just that sense of, do I really have value? Is there really a purpose and plan for me?
Dr. Gregory Janse, he is a psychologist. He's author of the book Battles Men Face, Strategies to Win the War Within. You can find him at Dr. Gregory Janse. That's Dr. Gregory Janse, JANTZ.com. We need to take a quick break. We'll continue with Dr. Janse in just a moment, find out more about some of these battles and what we need to do about them. Stand by for more. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill.
Good morning. It's 7:45. This is the Faith Radio Network, and I'm Austin Hill. Battles men face. Sometimes they're not the obvious kinds of battles. Battles with addiction, working too much, pornography, things of that sort. Sometimes the battles are more subtle. They nonetheless are problematic. Dr. Gregory Jantz, author of a book called Battles Men Face, Strategies to Win the War Within. He's on our guest line here on the Faith Radio. Dr. Jantz, comment, if you would, on a phenomena that I would say it's fairly new. I hear about this frequently from pastors who have disclosed to me periodically over the last 4 or 5 years. They're faced with kind of a new dilemma with younger men in the church. You've got men in their 20s, sometimes well into their 30s, who simply don't want to work. They're quite happy to move back in with mom and dad. They're okay to have their wives or girlfriends be the main provider. And there seems to be a lack of inclination towards working. I hear what you're saying about men who maybe place too much of their identity in the work and the things that they do. Have we kind of gone full circle? Do we have another battle that younger men are facing?
You know, Austin, we do. And in one word, we would call it entitlement. We live in a culture where I should have the latest and the greatest. And, you know, it's the 5-year-old boy that says, when do I get the iPhone 6?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So we live in this culture. It's instant. It's a one click. And there is the belief in the this generation that I deserve it. And with that, though, has come a real hopelessness about the future. So we talk about young men who really haven't launched. They're still at home, and in some cases, and we're seeing this, we work with folks from all over the country. We're seeing, you know, the guy's 35 years old and he's still at home. And he's perhaps being enabled to stay at home. But there's a hopelessness about the future and a sense of, well, why does it even matter? And so with that also comes entitlement and depression.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing more depression, Austin, with men than ever before. In fact, the World Health Organization tells us in the world, that depression will be the number one. They call it a disease, the number one disease by the year 2020. So we've got more depressed men than ever before.
What do we do about that in the church?
Well, we need to be aware of it. I think we need to talk about it. What does it look like? That's probably why we have more men truly addicted to pornography. We have an all-time high of just addiction in our work. With men, anything to do with addiction, from a food addiction to internet, anything related to addiction is one of the fastest growing areas of our work, which is, you know, not really a positive sign.
And so how do we move forward in a positive direction? I mean, it strikes me that, and this is a good thing, we've got a lot of well-trained clinical professionals within the evangelical Christian community specifically.
Yeah.
and making themselves available to churches and those kinds of things. They can bring the clinical expertise to bear in the pastoral context and those kinds of things. But how do we move forward with that?
One of the things that we move forward is, first of all, men are asking for help in greater numbers than ever before. We are working with more men, again, from all over the country, who are coming in and they've been depressed or addicted for a long time, and they're asking for help. That's great. We need to make it safe to get help. And really the bottom line question is, am I really happy with, you know, what I'm doing, where I'm going, and what's it going to look like if I continue this even in another year? Am I going to risk my health? Am I going to risk my relationships? So we really can have a wake-up call that says, you know what, I want to have a sense of purpose and peace and joy, and that's not where I am. And I'm going to be big enough and bold enough to say I need some help.
Mm-hmm.
So my word to men is, hey, let's be big enough and bold enough to say I need help. And you really, you know, it's the healthy ones that will ask for help. Not two will take you where you don't want to go.
Well stated. Dr. Gregory Jantz, his book is called Battles Men Face, Strategies to Win the War Within. Comment just for a final few moments here, if you would, please, Dr. Jantz,
to parents. Parents, those of us who are raising young boys who we hope and pray become healthy and productive men, real men who can go out and take on the day and be productive without becoming obsessive or addicted. What do you say to parents?
Well, and I'm a parent. I have a 12-year-old boy and a 15-year-old boy. And so I'm right in the middle of this.
Yes, you are.
Yes. In fact, one of my newest books is Raising Boys by Design. But design meaning God's design and looking at brain science in the Bible. And interestingly, brain science supports the Bible. So here's what we need to do as a parent. We've got to be engaged. We're living in a world of iGeneration, a world of millennials, which simply means some kids were tethered to technology the day they were born. You know,
pretty much.
And, and the way they learn is different. The way that they relate to the world and social networks, everything is far different than we ever experienced growing up. Engage yourself into their world and put boundaries around it. We know that kids that don't have appropriate boundaries and allow too much time on technology, remember the brain is growing and developing.
Mm-hmm.
We can overstimulate that brain early on and actually create a craving brain. Wants more and more and more, which kind of sets you up for later addiction and depression. So there's a lot to be said about how we can engage ourselves into the lives of our kids, particularly if they've got boys. We've got to get into the game with them.
Sounds good to me. Dr. Gregory Jantz, a parent who speaks from experience. He's also a clinical psychologist. His book is entitled Battles Men Face, Strategies to Win the War. We'll make sure to have a link on this from our website at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. Find Dr. Jantz at Dr. Gregory Jantz, JANTZ.com. That's drgregoryjantz.com. Dr. Jantz, as always, pleasure to speaking with you. Thanks for your insight, and I hope you'll come back and join us again soon.
You got it. Thank you. It's such an important topic, and there is hope.
There is indeed. As a matter of fact, we have a copy of Dr. Jantz's book, Battles Men Face. One copy. We'll give it away in a drawing. If you'd like to enter your name into that drawing, call us right now, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. It's 7:52. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Glad you're here. Seven:54 on the Faith Radio Network. Thanks for being here. I'm Austin Hill. Weekday morning, 6 till 8 is when I'm here as we seek to connect faith to life. I mentioned this earlier this morning that there is some news to report today about Pastor Chuck Swindoll and the Insight for Living ministry. Everything's okay so far as we know. He's not ill. He's not been taken with an injury or any such thing. No scandal, nothing negative. However, it's unfortunate that it has come to this, but the leadership of the nonprofit corporation known as Insight for Living Ministries, they have proactively filed a lawsuit, and I believe it's in a federal court there in the state of Texas where they're headquartered outside of the Dallas Metroplex area. They've filed a federal lawsuit against the United States Department of Health and Human Services. Now, why would Insight for Living Ministries and Pastor Chuck Swindoll's organization, why would they be filing a lawsuit against the Department of Health and Human Services? Well, the lawsuit stipulates that the mandate from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services requiring all employers, even nonprofit ministry employers, to provide vis-a-vis the Obamacare law, this is what's at stake here, the mandate via the Obamacare law that requires all employers to provide health insurance products that cover abortion-inducing medications. These are, you know, pill form sorts of things, oftentimes referred to as abortifacients, but abortion-inducing medications, that's really what they are. The Insight for Living organization, that nonprofit corporation, they're saying this violates our deeply held Christian beliefs. And we believe, speaking collectively as an organization, they're saying we believe that abortion is evil.
So, I mean, what was once a pretty commonly held view in the evangelical Christian community that the slaughtering of life in utero is not God's intent for life, and that's not acceptable. It is very mainstream to the point now we're here in the year 2014. The U.S. federal government is telling employees, either you provide insurance coverage that covers these kinds of abortion-inducing drugs, or you'll be in violation of the law and you're going to pay some serious fines. And the nonprofit Insight for Living Ministries company, it is a company, it's a nonprofit corporation, but they're saying we can't do this, and so they're fighting it out in court. I think it's unfortunate that money donated to the Insight for Living Ministry that was donated with the intent that it would help the proliferation of Pastor Chuck Swindoll's Bible teaching, and it would help in the proliferation of the gospel. Some of the funds in that organization are going to be diverted to paying attorneys to fight for our liberties in court. But that's the reality that we live in today. It really, really is. And if you know people in your church, if the pastor of your church, pastors, please take this to heart. I am here, Faith Radio is here to be a support and to be uplifting and to be encouraging. But now is no time to sit in silence and throw up your hands and say, well, you know, I have heard some of the most intriguing of things from pastors and pastoral figures who have been interview guests on this program just over the last 4 months since I've taken it over. I had a pastor tell me back over the summer, most of us can't really relate to being an elected official, so that's not really an important thing for us to pay attention to. Now, what logic does that make? I have to relate to being the governor or the president or a city council member in order to care what they do? I have to, quote-unquote, relate to them in order to pay attention to and have a voice in the laws that they're making? I don't think so. Folks, we cannot sit idly by. If Insight for Living Ministries and Pastor Chuck Swindoll is being compelled to step up and say, I cannot comply with this mandate from the U.S. federal government. A mandate, by the way, that was promised over and over and over again for those of us who watched and listened when the Obamacare law was being debated in Congress. It was promised over and over again. Oh, we would never force Christian organizations and churches to fund things that they don't believe in, like abortion. And now here we are in 2014. Pray for Pastor Chuck Swindoll and all the staff at the Insight for Living Ministries organization. Pray for our nation, and pray that we all wake up and have open hearts and minds and ears and get engaged. We have a voice in this. We are not helpless victims. We have a voice in this. Exercise it. I'll see you tomorrow at 1 for Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Have a great weekend. Listening to this podcast from Austin Hill in the Morning. For more information about this, you can visit Austin Hill in the Morning, our program page, on myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.